If you turn your Bibles, will, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We've been engaged in our study here of teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. And the Lord has given us much content about such in the Scripture. One might say, or maybe the ladies would say, well, why do I need to know about that, Brother Jim? And, you know, we understand the Scriptures bear out that a woman will not be such. Well, the thing is you may be a member of a church that needs to call a pastor. So you need to know what the Bible says about it. And maybe some of you men, maybe there would be men that would be qualified to become a preacher or a pastor of the Lord. Maybe he would call you. You need to know what the Lord says about it. And so if the Lord's given it to us indeed in his word, we need to know about it. We told this and helped us understand in context as best as we can understand last time in dealing with Brother Timothy. Brother Paul is writing Brother Timothy, Paul being an apostle, Timothy being a young preacher, pastor. And we have indication that it may be well that Timothy is a pastor or going to be or will be or is the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And if that's the case, as it is in Ephesus and as it is in much of the known world in that day, Asia Minor, Greece, Rome, they're pagans. They have a multiplicity of gods. And if we deal with the issue there at Ephesus and take that understanding about Diana, as we saw in the book of Acts there and Acts chapter 16:19, I believe it was, how the folks at Ephesus there were very dedicated to Diana, a goddess, a maiden goddess, supposedly from the child of some of the gods, the image that is referred to there in the book of Acts that they say came down from Jupiter, and they revered Diana. And we talked about how she does have other names with the Greeks, with the Romans, and then how over the course of time men took her and made her into other gods more than supposedly originally that she is. And that's the way it is with paganism. Paganism is taken and manipulated by men to suit them. And so that's just the way that it works. And the Lord talks to us about that in Romans chapter 1. But the Ephesus, having this god, this deity, a goddess from the gods for this city, if you will, their patron god. Have you ever heard about that? The universalists, even in our day and for centuries, have had their patron saints, saints of different kind of issues, or saints, supposedly, quote unquote, for different towns. Well, why is that? Well, universalists learned their doctrine universally, and the Greeks were doing it long before them. And so Diana is this god, and we see that, or you know, that they believe and suppose, and she's a woman, and she is that believed to nurture all of the wild and the animals of the wild. We described her image, one of the images that represents her. And in that, in the appearance of Diana, or how she's reckoned, she's naked. She's revealing her nakedness. And so we took a look last time about what the apostle gives to our brother Timothy, that he needs to teach and preach about the covering up of nakedness. Don't be like Diana, but follow that which is good and comely and acceptable in the Lord, and that is right. And then I mentioned to you about how one of the aspects that Diana takes on in the creation of men and the modification of this god is that she's the god of the heavens, she's the god of the earth, and she's the god of the netherworld. She's a god that hunts with a golden bow and silver arrows. She does that which is attributable to men. It's men that are to be the hunters and the men that are to be the sowers and the planters and that. And the scripture makes it plain that the Lord says the design of the woman is to be a keeper at home. And so they have this also, not only with clothing, but with this assertiveness. Now understand that it's good for a woman to stand her ground and take her place, but there is a right place that the Lord's made. And the place that the Lord has made for women is not a doormat, okay, or not one to be beaten or abused or to be run down. But understand, in the design, our Lord has made an order, and it's His order. And you know what? The best place of blessing is to line up with the Lord's order. Men, we're called upon the Lord to be the leaders of our home and the one that's accountable before the Lord of everything that goes on in our homes. We that are married, we've been given wives, and what a blessing that is to have a wife. A man's a fool if he will not listen to his wise wife. But understand, he needs to listen to his wife according to what the Lord tells us in His Word. And so the Lord has taken this in marriage, and he has the husband, he has the wife, and they're one flesh. That's the design of the Lord. And so they are one. And so a man indeed should consult with his wife and the things that she has understanding about and that. But there is an order. And the order is, and we can see it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll refer to that. We won't be able to touch on it this afternoon. But there is an order. Our Lord Jesus Christ is subject to the Father. And men, we're subject to Jesus Christ. And so it is with the women. They are to be subject to their fathers as they're not married, or their husbands as they're married. And that's the order. That doesn't mean that the women are the least. You got to remember about the economy of our Lord. The economy of our Lord says what? Yeah, one of the aspects of the economy of our Lord says the last will be first. And indeed, how it is with women and mothers, they do, what's that saying? They rock the future of the world in that cradle. Okay, so our Lord has distributed things correctly and appropriately. And you know what? The place of blessing is for us to line up with it. So the Apostle Paul gives a bad rap of being a woman hater and a one that runs down women. But that's not the case. He's been blessed to understand the order that the Lord's given and conveys that to us. Our Lord inspiring him conveys that to us in the Scriptures. So in verse number 11 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Scripture says in verse number 11, and again, this is an apostle that ministers within the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, is an evangelist and has done so and has established churches through Asia Minor, Macedonia and Greece, teaching a preacher or a pastor himself on how it's to be amongst the Lord's people in the Lord's church. So remember that context. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. That's what it says. And this is church context. Now, I want us to understand this, that the church determines when different things are to be done. Our church has determined that we're going to have a church service right now, a meeting together where we worship together, worship our Lord together. You know, when we were out in the fellowship hall, the church was together there too. It was. But that's a time of eating. And it's not a time for the women to be silent, because, fellas, it would be more pure miserable for us to be able to get fed if our women were to remain silent. So see, this is relative to worship. This is relative to the activities of the church and the worship of the church. We need to understand that. I pray that we will in the future have cottage prayer meetings. And at the time that we set to worship, we go by the guidelines that our Lord has given us. The women in that are to be silent. But then we break up and the ladies meet together as it did today, and the men meet together and they pray together. The ladies pray together. We're not together in worship capacity, but yet they are worshiping the Lord there together and they do speak. This is talking about the meeting together of the church and worship, the meeting together of the church like we just had a little bit of business here. It's the place for the women in that is to learn in silence and in all subjection. Now, understand this word subjection is talking about, as the Lord has designed, for a woman to be in subjection to her father or to be in subjection to her husband. That's the way that it is. Your wife is not subject to me as a husband. Each wife is subject to her own husband. But yet there is subjection that we all do have one to another in our place or in office, there is an element there of the membership being subject to the pastor. Yet in the design of the Lord, the pastor is yet subject to the church. Okay? And so we need to understand those things. He says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, not like it is with Diana, who goes around hunting, scantily clad, taking on the position of a man and speaking in things belonging to men. He's saying, don't be like that. That's not honoring to the Lord, but to take the place that the Lord has made. And he tells us why. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Here we see that leadership aspect. And that's what it's about. It's up to the men to lead and up to the pastor to lead and the seasoned men of the church to lead and the different things of the church. A woman is not, he says, I suffer not a woman to teach, not to teach a man. Now, you know what? You know what happens sometimes in the Duke household? Sister Duke Jr., she gets blessed by something from the Lord, and she shares that with me, and you know what? I am taught by her. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But you know what? In the church context, in our meeting together, it's the men that are to teach the ladies. It's the men, the pastor, the teachers, to teach. Now, you know what? We have these youngsters, and we have Sunday school. We have vacation Bible school and different things. And you know what? As these children, even these boys, are young, they are to be subject to their teachers. And you know what? We've got some teachers that are ladies, and I'm thankful for them. And they do and have and can and will be able to teach them about things from the Scripture. There's not a thing wrong with that, because these boys are just that. They're children. They're boys. They've not stepped into the time and the realm of leadership in the church and that position in that realm. But when they get to a certain age, you know what happens with our Sunday schools? They get pushed over to a man teaching them, or up here in the adult Sunday school class. That's appropriate. And we use that age 13 as a guide for that. And that's most appropriate. He says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence in regards to that portion of the operation of the church. You know what? Sometimes our ladies have good ideas about decoration of the facilities and stuff like that. They might even have a good idea about things that we're doing and repair work and such as that. You know how that works? They talk to their husbands about it. Or when we're out there at lunch, it's mentioned and talked about a bit. And so there's not a thing of where the women are beat down and to go around with their heads bowed and to never look up. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about following after godliness and follow after the order that's a given in the church. See, understand from how it is in the world. And we live in a day, and you've seen it in your lifetime. We've seen it in our generations, where women are pursuing to be men. Right? Also, men are pursuing to be women. And it's confusion, all this gender confusion mess that we have. It's unseemly. It's inordinate. It's against God. We've been made the gender that we've been made, and the Lord has made us that and created us that way. And you know what? We need to abide right there where the Lord's made us. And you know what? Being obedient to the Lord is worship of the Lord. See, when you and I obey the Lord in our calling and how He's created us and the gender that He's given us, when we submit to that, we worship Him. When we submit to that and look to pursue that and do that well, we honor and glorify Him, because it's His design, is it not? We've not created Him. He's created us. He's not accountable to us. You and I are accountable to Him. And we'll all stand before the Lord and give an account of our obedience to Him. So it's His design. It's His design. It's not that one is more and one is less. That's not it. But the station, the place that the Lord has made. You know what? A woman that's obedient and the calling of the Lord upon her and His design and such as that can receive as much blessing or greater blessing than a man. I tell you what, it's a great load to carry the responsibility of family for a man that looks to do it well and right. It's a great load. And you know what? One day, it doesn't matter what went on in the household, fellas. You and I will stand and give an account. And there won't be anything, there won't be any of us saying, but my wife. You know, I think we've heard that before, haven't we? But my wife, there won't be that. They'll give an account for what they're responsible for, and we will give an account for what we're responsible for. And because our daddy willingly sinned against our God, you and I have got it. We've got it. And we'll see that here in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's just go over here and touch quickly. This chapter is speaking about gifts and the management of that in the churches. I'm coming of the opinion that at this time, this seems to be later in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, that the oracle of God, the word of God, you know, we referred to that here recently about, I think it was Wednesday night, about what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, agape love, charity, love with legs on it, love unto action like our Lord's love. And we talked and we took a look about the reference here about how when that which is perfect is come, you know, it's mature. Let's not think of the word perfect as perfection. Let's think about it as the word mature. It was mature that Israel had a word, an oracle from God written. You know, other religions, they leave it vague so they can tweak it and adjust it. But it was very mature for the word of God to be given by God, the oracle of God given by God to Israel, and for it to be written down over and over and over again in copies and thereby being established. Nobody could change it. Because God gave it, they wrote it down, the brethren that were inspired wrote it down, and then the scribes continued to copy it over and over. You know what? Early on, the church was in its infancy, wasn't it? But it became very mature as the oracle, the word of God in the New Testament became written, and therefore could not be changed during the time of the apostles, and then copied and distributed amongst the churches. And so there was no more of a need for tongues and prophecies, special knowledge by the apostles and such. So that's a point. And so he's dealing here with this church at Corinth. And I'm beginning to wonder if maybe there isn't that understanding in this time that the word of God is in the New Testament is becoming prolific amongst the churches. And those different letters that are being written, that are the books that we have, are being distributed about. Maybe not come together in the form like we have it, but is there. Our brother, he writes to this church at Corinth in this, in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 33. Listen to what he says about this subject. This of the women. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. A fine opportunity for him to use the word church, but he says churches. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience to the Lord, to their husbands, to their fathers, as also saith the law. Do you find that interesting? As also saith the law. You know, when I first that portion of that passage came to light, I said, oh, okay, that's good. We can go over to the Old Testament and we can find out about that. But you know what we find as we take a look at the law in regards to women? When we take a look at the law and we take a look at all the ceremonial and sacrificial law that the Lord gave Israel, you know what we find? We find that it was the men that did it. What we find in the law is also saith the law. I believe what we can understand from this is that the law is silent about women offering sacrifices, leading in the worship, being the receiver of the word of God. We just don't see it. That's what the law says, is that it's not what the Lord has given to them and called them to do. But I know, it's obvious. Brother Jim, what about in the days of the judges when Deborah was a judge? I tell you what, that's not a mistake in the scripture. It is true. Deborah was a judge. You know what it's a testimony to? It's a testimony that there was not a man in Israel that had the grit, spiritual fortitude, and understanding from the Lord to be the judge. And so what happens? I'll tell you what, work's going to get done. Maybe you know it in your family, in your household, in your life, that maybe there just wasn't a man there to do what needed to be done. And what happens? Strong women take it up and pick it up and do it. But you know what the design is? Is that men be strong in the Lord, and men listen to the Lord and hear the Lord, and men be in a spiritual state to be used of the Lord. What it is, in a day that there was a woman prophet in Israel, it was a testimony to the sorriness of the men in Israel. So let that be understood. And may the Lord help us that we wouldn't be sorry. As also saith the law. Verse 35, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. And so it's very clear in the operation of the church, in the services, in the business, it's the men that are to lead. And Brother Jim, I don't have a husband. You know what? And in the design at hand, you've got a pastor. You've got a pastor's wife. If you're a lady and you want to understand something about the scripture that you don't understand, I'm not telling you I'll have the answer, but we'll look to see. Maybe I might be able to help you. But that's the design of the Lord. Not there to be a public outcry in the church about, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. Some of the ladies in the church have asked me about different things that I've taught and preached, and I appreciate that, and that's fine. Maybe a husband would know the answer. Maybe a husband wouldn't know the answer. And so even both could come, and the Lord's made the design together for it to be that way. And so we come back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we read here in verse number 12 again, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. The women are not to be the leadership. We have this joke, say, well, yeah, the men are the head, but the woman is the neck. Be careful about that. Be careful of that. Indeed, a good relationship between a husband and a wife, there's going to be influence, and that's right. But I tell you what, may God help us that we not be manipulators. That whole thing of manipulation amongst people, God hates that. He's got a name for it, Nicolaitans, people managers and people manipulators. Don't be a manipulator. Be honest. Be open, be right, stand for what's true and what's right. He goes on to say here, suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's God's order. Adam was formed of the dust of the ground by the Lord, and that was his call and what he did. And then Eve from his rib, taken from man. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Indeed, a woman was deceived by the serpent. He was subtle. He was used trickery. He brought it right there, changed the word of God, but brought it right to the heart of her concerns and the things that would be important to her. Listen to this. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, the women, continue in faith in the Lord. And ladies, I pray that this isn't an affront to you. Brother Jim, we live in the 21st century. So does the Lord. He lived before the first century. His thinking's no different than it ever was. Just because you and I live in the 21st century and got a little bit of technology, we can make some things happen with some sand and some gold and silver and stuff like that, doesn't mean that we know more than the Lord. Just because we can automate some things and quote-unquote artificial intelligence, I mean, the Lord's given some wonderful advancements in medicine. We got to make trades, it seems like, but our Lord's really blessed that we can do a lot of things. Just because we can doesn't mean we know better. Adam, again, I mentioned earlier, Adam, he wasn't deceived, but he walked straight forward, bold face, into disobeying God. And fellas, I think that's the reason we've got the headship. It's because it's like this. You've heard me say it before. Okay, big boy, you want to lead? You got it. You think you know what's best? It's on you. You've got it. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Wasn't that one of the things that the Lord said there in Genesis? I'll multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. The Lord knew because of sin that the population was going to have to be increased, I believe, more than it was going to be without sin. Because you know what? Sin brings forth death. It brings forth death. In that sin against God Almighty, Satan, Lucifer, was cast out of heaven. Jesus said he saw it. He was there when it happened. And he became the prince and the power of the air. It says in Isaiah that Satan has destroyed his people and destroyed his land. That Satan was going to be given a people too. It's like Satan said, I want to be like the Most High. I want to sit in the sides of the north. I want to be like God. And God said, okay, create an earth. Oh, you can't do that. Okay, you can go to mine and have at it and see what you can do. He's been judged. Satan does nothing. He's a murderer from the beginning and a liar. Remember that. And he's done nothing but destroy, nothing but death. Following after any other way but the Lord's way ends up with a mess like that. And so may the Lord help us in that. Adam, woman was deceived, but Adam was not. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith. I pray, ladies, and I think you do, you have faith to follow the order of the Lord. Follow and continue in faith in the Lord about these things. In charity, living for your Lord and loving your Lord and loving those around you. And holiness, as has been mentioned earlier, with sobriety. Really understanding the way it is. Not the fad of the world. Not what makes sense to men. Not saying, you know, I kind of like what Diana, the way Diana did. No. The way Diana did as this false maiden god of the gods was an abomination to the Lord. Don't follow after that way. And may the Lord help us in it. I never want to touch on this subject without mentioning this. We all must understand our Lord's economy, and I alluded to it earlier. The woman is not less, but to be obedient, just like the men are to be obedient, okay? Matthew chapter 10. Take a look here at the Lord's economy. Listen to what the Lord says about the way he reckons things. Matthew chapter 10. Let's take a look. We'll cut in here at verse number 40. Our Lord Jesus says, he that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, the Father. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. We don't have prophets anymore because we got the Word of God. But I tell you what, we do have those that the extent that we prophesy is telling over the prophecy, the Word of God, over and over again. And you know what? Those that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Whoa. How's that for economy? You receive the man of God, and I tell you what, I'm not gunning for a free meal, okay? But you receive a man of God as a man of God, you can receive a man of God's reward. And what's it go on to say? Oh, it goes this way, and remember how it said that if they continue in charity, right? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones of the Lord a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he or she shall in no wise lose his reward. So remember the economy of the Lord, ladies. Men, remember the economy of the Lord. You can go and by being charitable, by being glorifying to God and filling that place, that place that the Lord has made, each one of us, by doing that and doing that well, walking with our Lord in it, our rewards from the Lord can be farther than anything you can ever count. So the scripture's not saying that women are less. Our Lord's telling us we've all got the place that we need to abide in. And you know what? The design of the Lord is a place for happiness and the place for blessing. Buck up against it. That's what you have. You have a pile of strife. But may we abide in it, and may our Lord help us in it indeed.